Well, go ahead and grab a seat over all of our locations. And hey, can you do me a favor? Can we just thank our worship teams over our campuses? They're amazing. They lead us in worship. They prepare our hearts for what God has in store for us. So welcome, everybody. Welcome home. Welcome to the family. Man, it's good to gather as a church family. We are a family. And we got people, family, joining us from all over, whether that's Webster, Rochester, Brighton, scattered throughout on our online campus. Welcome home and welcome to the family. And, you know, in our culture and even in our lives, there's something that draws us to a story of a hero. Right, there's nothing that kind of gets our excitement going watching this major clash between good and evil. And there's nothing better than watching a hero rise from the ashes to overcome evil. I mean, think about when you were a little kid and the hero that you loved to dress up as, the hero that you wanted their superpower, you wanted to be just like them. It kind of starts in the fantasy land with heroes like Superman and Spider-Man and Batman and Wonder Woman and Catwoman, right? Those are people that we've longed to be up. We Halloween, we dress up like them. We got the capes on. We're ready to do the miraculous. But there's also everyday heroes, people who walked this world and did extraordinary and amazing things. People like Martin Luther King Jr., Corrie Ten Boom, Mother Teresa, Abraham Lincoln. And ultimately what draws us to a hero is who they are and what they do. You see, a hero is someone who gives his or her life to something bigger than oneself. That's what makes a hero a hero. They're willing to sacrifice their own life for the sake of the greater cause. And yet, all throughout history, there have been people who have done extraordinary things whose names we've never heard, whose stories we've yet to discover. Even in the Bible, right? The Bible is full of heroes. And we know some of their names, heroes like Mary and David, heroes like Moses and Joshua, but all throughout the pages of the Bible are people whose names we don't know, whose stories we haven't really found out about yet, who did amazing things. They're called unsung heroes. And over the next few weeks, we're going to just discover in our Bible some of those names and stories that we don't know about. And so we're going to discover those stories. We're also going to be looking at some of the time periods all throughout the Bible, from Genesis all the way to Acts. And we're going to pick a hero out of each one of those time periods. And so as we get rolling this morning, as we begin this new journey together, we're going to start at the very beginning, in the period of the law. In fact, if you got your Bibles, you can go ahead and turn into that period, into Exodus chapter 1. I'd encourage you to grab your physical Bible, your device, jump in the Northridge Church app to take notes for today's sermon. And we're going to start in Exodus chapter 1 in this period called the law. You see, the first five books of your Bible are this segment, this period of time, Genesis to Deuteronomy. And in this time period, it's called, in these first five books, it's called the Pentateuch or the Torah, which simply means law. You see, the author of these five books is one of the most popular heroes we know in this segment. His name was Moses. He was the one who delivered the nation of Israel out of bondage. But the reason why it's called the period of the law is because God is establishing his chosen nation, the nation of Israel. He's going to set them free. And the way God establishes his nation is through his own law. And so to pick up this story in Exodus chapter 1, let me just give you a little bit of background on this story. The Hebrew people find themselves in slavery to the nation, the empire of Egypt. Pharaoh is cruel to the Hebrew people, but Pharaoh in Exodus chapter 1 notices a problem. The Hebrew people are growing in mass, numerically. Women are having baby after baby. And so Pharaoh has this fear that they will grow so big, that they will actually get so big, that they will turn and overcome the Egyptian empire. And so Pharaoh decides to do something unique and disgusting to solve this problem. And that's where we are introduced to two heroes in the Bible that I would bet the vast majority of you have never heard their names. Shipporah and Puah. Come on, let's just test this out. How many of you have heard the names Shipporah and Puah before? Okay, there's a couple of you. Who are these heroic women? Let's find out. Exodus chapter 1. It says, "The king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, whose name were Shipporah and Puah, 'When you are helping the Hebrew women during childbirth on the delivery stool, if you see that the baby is a boy, kill him. But if it's a girl, let her live.'" And so here we're introduced to these two women. They are midwives. And not only are they midwives, but scholars believe that they are supervisors of all the midwives. That's why Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, comes to them, because they held some semblance of influence over all the midwives in Egypt. And so Pharaoh comes to these two midwives. He's trying to solve a problem of the growing masses of the Hebrew people. And he tells the midwives, "Hey, I need you to do something for me. If it's a boy, kill it. If it's a girl, let it live." Now, before we dive too far into this story, we have to pull back and understand the cultural context. Because we live in a world that is so much different than this world. Right? In this culture, they didn't have things that we have, like hospitals, doctor's offices, urgent cares. Right? A midwife was the doctor, the surgeon, and the nurse all combined into one. Another cultural context that we have to understand is who Pharaoh is. Pharaoh is the ruler of the entire Egyptian empire. He is the most powerful man in history up to this point. What Pharaoh says happens. And if it doesn't happen, what usually happened is that person was no longer around and he would find somebody else to do his bidding. And so for a second, understand what's going on in this story. These two women, Shipporah and Puah, are given a command by Pharaoh to kill the baby boys. Put yourself in their shoes. How would you respond? And yet, the very next phrase of the Bible changes this story. It says, "The midwives, however, feared God." This very phrase will literally be the foundation for what happens next in this story. It changes the trajectory of how these women would respond. And don't miss something. Don't miss what the text doesn't say. Right? The text doesn't say, "However, the midwives feared Pharaoh." Everybody in this culture feared Pharaoh, except a few. They feared God's power over the power of an ordinary man who thought he was bigger than his britches. They feared God. And what does the Bible say about the fear of God? Proverbs 9 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." If you want to be a wise person here in this culture, the truth is that the journey of wisdom begins with you fearing God. Proverbs 14 says, "The fear of the Lord is a strong confidence." That the fear of the Lord breeds courage in your life. That if you want to be courageous for the Lord, you have to first fear him. And this strong confidence we will see in these two women. But we have to ask the question, Shipporah and Puah feared God. What does that mean? What does it look like to fear God? Well, two things. I would say the first, fearing God means you're going to put God's way above all other ways. When you truly fear the Lord, you simply say with your life, "God's way above mine. God's will in my life, whether it's costly, smooth, or easy, I will choose to follow his way and his will no matter what the path may lead. If I truly fear God, I will follow his ways." Secondly, to fear God means I have a healthy reverence for who God is. That I revere the Lord. And in that word reverence, I think are two things that blend perfectly together. If you truly fear the Lord, you will respect God. When you begin to understand who God is, how big and how vast and how mighty he is, it builds this respect for God. I mean, just think about the people you respect in your life today. If you truly respect someone, you want to be around them. You want to be influenced by them. Maybe you want to follow them. It's the same for God. If you truly fear God, you respect him. And out of that respect, you want to be in his presence. You want to dwell with him. You want to follow him. You want to learn his ways. But even in this respect, I think there's something else that we often miss when it comes to the fear of God, which is just a little bit of holy terror of who God is. Like, I think at some level, as human beings, we have to recognize a simple truth. He is God, and I am not. Even though I try to play God in my own life, even though I want to be God, the reality is that God being God, his how big he is, how strong he is, how powerful he is, should build a little bit of actual fear in my life. Because I'm a sinner and God is holy, and that should just alone terrify me. I'm not afraid of God, but I respect how mighty he is. The fear of the Lord is this reverence for God. It's putting his ways above all others. And if you want to see how this kind of pans out in someone's life, look at the disciples. The disciples got to see God in flesh, Jesus incarnate. And all throughout the journey of hanging around Jesus, guess what happened? They began to grow in the fear of who Jesus was. And let me show you one incident in the life where you see it kind of happen. Right, it's a story where they're in the boat, they're with Jesus, he's sleeping, and the weather goes crazy, and they're terrified. They think they're gonna die. They wake Jesus up, and he's like, peace be still, and the storm stops. And look what they say. It says, the men were amazed and asked, what kind of man is this? Like, who is this guy that the wind and the waves obey him? You know what's happening in that moment? They were discovering a reverence for God, his power, that even the weather patterns obey his command. And they grew in the fear of the Lord. And so these two women, Shiprah and Puah, Pharaoh comes to them, gives them a command. And it says, the midwives feared God and did not do what the king of Egypt had told them to do. They let the boys live. Out of the fear of God, they chose to disregard the command of Pharaoh and follow God's ways. And I don't know about you, but when I read a story like this, it's easy for me to be like, yeah, that's probably what I would have done too. You know, I'd be like, yeah, if I was in those circumstances, I would have chose the same way. Really? Like, your life is on the line. Like, this isn't just some ordinary circumstance. These women's life are on the line. And if they disregard what Pharaoh says, it's gonna cost them greatly. If they don't die, they're gonna rot in jail for the rest of their lives. And remember, this isn't some choice where they could like not do what Pharaoh says and somehow hide it from Pharaoh. If they disregard what Pharaoh's command, guess what? There's no hiding it. There's no way of covering it up. At some point, Pharaoh's gonna realize, wait, there's a whole lot more Hebrew boys than there should be. So they had no way of covering it up or hiding it from Pharaoh. Eventually, if they chose to disregard his command, he would know. But they chose to do it anyway. And guess what happened? Pharaoh realized. Verse 18, it says, then the king of Egypt summoned the midwives and asked them, why have you done this? Why have you let the boys live? The midwives answered Pharaoh, Hebrew women are not like Egyptian women. They are vigorous and give birth before the midwives arrived. So this was probably the worst moment for Shiprah and Puah, right? Pharaoh finds out and he calls them to them. Can you imagine how dreadful of a moment that had to be for these two women? Thinking, this is it. Our lives are over. Pharaoh's like, what have you done? Why have you disobeyed me? And Shiprah and Puah do something fascinating. They do two things. One, they lie to Pharaoh. And in the lie, they somehow insult Egyptian women. I mean, they're like, Pharaoh, you've been hanging around with the Egyptian women too long. These Hebrew women, whoo, they can give birth, baby. Like, we didn't even get there. But it builds a tension in my heart because they lied. Is it okay for them to lie to Pharaoh in these circumstances? Because doesn't the Bible teach us that we shouldn't bear false witness? Doesn't the Bible say about God that one of the things he hates is lying lips? So this tension, they lied to Pharaoh. It kind of seems to make sense in my human brain, but like, is God okay with us lying at all, ever? And there's this tension, and I love what one study Bible says about this moment. It says, God blessed them not because they lied, but because they saved the lives of innocent children. This doesn't mean that a lie was necessarily the best way to answer Pharaoh. The midwives were blessed, however, for not violating the higher law of God that forbids the senseless slaughter of innocent lives. And so should they have lied? I'm not sure we know the answer to that question. But we do know that God blesses them for their actions. And all throughout the Bible, we see stories like this one, where Shipra and Pua are moved with courage that comes from the fear of God, and they disregard commands that go against God's way and his will. And guess what happens? When we choose to obey God in our lives, there is always a blessing for our obedience. I want to say that again, because I want this to sink in. When you choose to obey God, there is always a blessing for our obedience. Now, let me pause here and nuance that statement. Because the problem when it comes to the word blessing is we often have expectations of how God should bless us. And usually when God blesses us, it usually doesn't meet our expectations. Can I tell you, sometimes God's blessing in your life is persecution and hardship. Because it will produce in you what nothing else will. But unfortunately for us in American culture, we think God's blessings is riches and fame and glory. Like, that sounds great. But God always, listen to me, God will always bless you for your obedience. I can't promise you what that will look like, but I promise you it will be the best thing for your life. In fact, look how he blessed these heroic women. It says, so God was kind to the midwives, and the people increased and became even more numerous. And because the midwives feared God, he gave them families of their own. And so there's two blessings from this story. The first blessing is directly to the midwives. God grants them families of their own. But the second blessing was way bigger than that. It was a blessing for the nation of Israel, because through these two heroic women, Shipra and Pua, God paved the way for the deliverer to come. That through these two women's actions, it paved the way for Moses to enter the story and free the nation of Israel from bondage. And what amazing, powerful story of two names we probably never heard before. But I don't know about you, but I didn't show up. I didn't prepare for us to just be moved by a story. The question I've been asking, and I hope you're asking, is how does this ancient story, thousands of years ago, how does their testimony and their story change my life today? How does it make me a better disciple of Jesus? And the truth is I think what Shipra and Pua teach us is the fuel of courage is the fear of the Lord. Listen to me, if you want to do something courageous, something bold for Jesus, you got to start that journey by fearing God. What would change the story was a simple phrase. However, Shipra and Pua, the midwives, feared God. So let me ask you, do you fear the Lord? Do you fear God? And before you rush to answer that question, sure, it's easy right now to fear God. We just sang an amazing worship set. We're already feeling it, and then we're diving into God's word. It's easy when we're gathered together as the family of Christ to fear God. But what about on Tuesday, when your boss comes to you and asks you to do something unethical that will raise sales? Do you fear God then? What about you as a teenager? When all of your friends are telling you to go a certain way that you know violates God's will for your life, do you fear God then? What about when you're alone with your computer? You fear God then? See, it's easy to fear God in the gathering of the church. But every day when it gets difficult and hard, when you're faced with circumstances like Shiphrah and Puah, do you fear the Lord? And maybe a better question today is not only do I fear the Lord, but how do I learn to fear the Lord? What does that even look like? Because in our church, what's amazing about our church is we got people in totally different places in their spiritual journey. Some of you here today haven't even said yes to Jesus. You're still asking your questions. Can I tell you, we're so glad that you're here. Some of you just started following Jesus, right? You surrendered your life. You don't even know what it fully means, but you are all in on Jesus. Some of you have been following Jesus for 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 40 years. But the truth of the fear of the Lord, the journey is the same. Right? The first step in fearing the Lord is we have to understand who God is and his ways. We have to continue to grow in our knowledge of God and continue to choose to walk in his will and his way. And that journey is the same for all of us. It means we got to spend time in our relationship with God. We're not checking religious box, but we desire to read about God in his word to understand who he is. We understand who he is through communing with him in prayer and talking to God. It's like any other relationship. If you spend time in that relationship, you begin to discover more and more. I've been married to my wife for 17 years, and I'm still learning about her. And the same is true for you and God. You have to spend time with him to know who he is. And when you begin to understand how gracious and how compassionate, how holy and how just God is, when you discover God, guess what happens? It changes you. It changes your heart that was hard as stone, and it begins to soften it. It begins to change the way you act and the choices that you make, how you respond to conflict. It changes the words that come out of your mouth. It changes the things you watch for entertainment. And get this about Shiphrah and Puah. They didn't have a Bible to read every morning. They didn't have podcasts that they could listen to or sermons that they could watch from all over America. All they had was stories other Hebrew people told them about God. And for them, that was enough to fear God. So what's your excuse? You have everything you need and then some. Do you know how much these women would have loved to be able to open God's word and read it? And yet many of us have it and ignore it. And we wonder why we don't truly fear God. The first step is understanding who he is and walking in his ways. The second step to fearing God is seeking first his kingdom. That's what it means to be a Christian. It means I'm here not to build my kingdom, but I'm here to build the kingdom of God. And can I tell you what a powerful reminder that is in this season of America? I don't know about anybody else, but I am so dang tired of election season. Can't wait for it to be over. But can I remind you today, in the midst of your nerves and anxiety, that we are not here for the American dream, and we shouldn't care that much about who's president and who's not, because we know as the church who sits on the throne, and we are here to build his kingdom, not America's. And we need that reminder. I'm here to seek first the kingdom of God. And that means I put his way above every other way. And the way I seek first his kingdom is twofold. The first way is I choose obedience over convenience. Too many Christians are choosing the easy path because the other one is hard and difficult. Shiphrah and Puah's path wasn't easy. It was costly, and yet they still chose it. What are you choosing? Are you choosing ease and convenience over obedience? Just evaluate your life for a second. The last decision you made, who were you listening to? Culture? Your friends? Your spouse? Or were you saying, God, you have the final say? It would have been so easy for these women to just get in good with Pharaoh. It would have made their life a whole lot easier. We just do what Pharaoh says. They could have justified it, felt good about it. They could have just went that way, got blessed by Pharaoh. Probably been easier for their life to climb the corporate ladder of Egypt. And yet they chose to obey God's way, no matter what it costs them. Look what 1 Peter says. It says, "For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil." You believe that? You accept that? That you would rather suffer for the name of Jesus than follow the ways of culture? We choose obedience over convenience. Secondly, we put others before ourselves. If I'm gonna seek God's kingdom, it means I go to the back burner and I put the needs of everybody else in front of me. It's exactly what these two women did. They put their life on the line to save innocent children, to fight for their lives at the expense of their own. Can I ask you today, when's the last time you denied yourself for the sake of someone else? When's the last time you put your desires and your needs on the back burner to serve others? You see, what changed this story was a simple phrase. Shipra and Pua feared God. Do you? Father, in a culture that is constantly pushing against your ways and your will, give us the confidence, that strong confidence that comes from fearing you. Give us wisdom, God. God, I pray today that we would fear you above anything else, that your way would be the way that we follow, that we would choose obedience over convenience, and that we would choose to put others in front of ourselves. It's not an easy road. Sometimes it's not a fun road. But give us the courage, the perseverance, the endurance to choose it anyway. Thank you for speaking to us this morning, God. In Jesus' name, amen.